So we are pleased to have Dr. Karol Zybowski with us today. He is a professor of physics at Jagiellonian University. He has been a long-term visitor at PI in its early days in 2004-2005. And he has visited PI for quite a few times after that. So I guess he needs no introduction for that. So today he will talk about multipartite entanglement. So over to you, Karol, whenever you're ready.
Yes, thanks for the introduction, for a very nice invitation to Canada. Sorry for not being able to come to visit Canada again, but I hope to visit Waterloo at some point after those times of pandemia. Now, let me start introducing my collaborators. Dardo Goshenetche from Argentina, now from Chile. Zahra Raisi from Iran, now in Barcelona. Gonzalo Quinta and Rui André from Lisbon. And my colleague from Krakow, Adam Burkhardt. Well, I will show you a picture you might know, at least those of you who are in Waterloo. It was really a great pleasure for me to stay for more than 1 year in the building behind. Those who don't know, this is the old building of Perimeter. Sorry, not old, old is post office. So this is the medium building, and here is the new one. So if you ever come to Waterloo, it's good to be there. You can wait for the train, which does not operate so often, to make such a picture. Here is Waterloo Main Station, yes? Is it so? It's still there, yes, I hope. From time to time, I would be very pleased if you answer my questions just to show me that you are still alive in Canada.
So, Karol, well,
yes,
the train has disappeared.
Really?
So there's a light train nowadays that goes every day, every 20 minutes.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That yes. goes from far apart from the shopping mall, from both shopping malls, the one in Waterloo and the one in Kitchener, yeah. and passing to where these tracks were.
Ah, so, interesting. You see, so everything has changed. Thanks.
You've
thanks
missed something.
Yeah. Good. So what I'm going to talk about is a relatively simple question concerning quantum information and, in fact, entangled states. Wow, you know very well what entangled states are. By the way, do you see my pointer, my hand?
Yes.
Good. So if we have a bipartite system, like two objects, there are two objects. We define subsystems A and B. Mathematically, we define Hilbert spaces, HA and HB. This is the composite Hilbert space. And of course, you know that every product state is called separable. Entangled is this, which is not separable. And for the simplest 2 times 2 equals 4 system, the famous state is called Bell state. It's maximally entangled. It looks like this. 00 plus 1, 1. And it is maximally entangled because its partial trace is completely mixed, so chaotic state. You have no predictions whatsoever. In a more general setup, if you have two subspaces of arbitrary size, you can always write any pure state in such a product basis. So those coefficients form such a matrix Cij, and then you can use so-called singular value decomposition of this matrix, and it gives us the Schmidt vector. So formally, Schmidt coefficients lambda are just singular values of squared singular values of C. So then this double sum changes into a simple sum. And then to characterize entanglement, we just can compute entropy of this Schmidt vector, which is treated as a probability vector. So entanglement entropy of bipartite state, it is just Shannon entropy of partial states. If all those singular values are equal, then this state is maximally entangled, as in the case of Bell state. So here's more general version of the Bell state generalized for two qdits. So both subsystems of size D, and then the singular values are equal. They are equal to 1 over D, in fact, here is small misprint. And then partial trace is maximally mixed. So is the case for locally equivalent state. But then you can say that, well, the state is maximally entangled if partial trace, which is just CC dagger, is maximally mixed, which means that this initial matrix C is proportional to a unitary matrix. For instance, if you take such a Hadamard matrix, so you know how it looks like 1, 1, comma 1, minus 1, it leads to such a state of 2 qubits, which is of course equivalent to the Bell state. It's maximally entangled, even though it's not so easy to see it. But if you look at this matrix of coefficients, it's just the Hadamard, which is unitary. So in short, properties of a state are described by the singular values of the matrix of coefficients. Well, this is simple for a bipartite system. Now, in my talk, the title was multipartite. What means multi? Multi, well, several, a lot. So what it means a lot in this case? Well, in Latin, there is such a saying, tres faciunt collegium, so three makes a group, a team. From the geometrical point of view, we have a clear difference between two-dimensional objects and three-dimensional objects. Well, for us, multi, it means n, which is three or larger. And now a short question. How do you see a relation between this square and this three-dimensional cube and our problem of multipartite entanglement? So, Raymond, I see your face. I don't know why, because I see only one face, but I'm pleased to see you. So do you see any relation between a cube and a state of three parties? Well, this is simple. If you have three parties like A, B, C, then any state, psi, A, B, C, can be represented in such a product basis. And all those coefficients, they form a tensor. So in the case of bipartite system, you had a matrix like Cij. Now we have a tensor. In the simplest case, it's tensor with three indices, so a cube. And of course, algebraically speaking, tensors are very nice objects, but they are much more complicated than matrices. For matrices, we know well, there is a singular value decomposition. We know how to compute the rank of a matrix, norm of a matrix, everything is known. For tensor, it is much more complicated. Even the definition of the rank of the tensor is not unique. There are many different definitions. By the way, we wrote a review paper about those issues, tensor rank and entanglement of pure state quantum states, which is available online. So in short, the difference between two and three or multi is because instead of matrices, we deal with tensors, and then a lot of problems occur. For instance, a simple question you may ask, what is the most entangled state of a system which is composed of n subsystems with d levels each? In the case of bipartite system, two subsystems, the answer is simple. It is like Bell state or generalized Bell state. However, already if you have three subsystems, so you describe those states by tensors, basically the answer depends on the measure of entanglement you use. So for instance, there's a famous GHZ state, you know it very well, 0, 0, 0 plus 1, 1, 1. It, on one hand, it fulfills many nice criteria. It's considered often as a maximally entangled state. All its three reductions are maximally mixed. However, another state, W, it looks like this, has another property. Because partial trace, if you take away one subsystem, this state remains entangled, while if you take GHZ state, all partial traces are separable. So you see, depending what question you pose, what measure of entanglement you use, different states can be called as the most entangled. Now we discuss a more general case of states of n qudits. So qudit is a system with d levels each. And there was an interesting and important definition. I think it goes back to Scott, but many other people contributed to the field. There were groups from Italy, the Bayesian group. And the idea is simple. Such a state of n-party system is called k-uniform if for all possible splitting into k and n minus k parts, so it's a bipartite splitting, those reduced states are maximally mixed. And okay, so simple example is that just generalized n-qudit GHZ state. It looks like this for d levels in each of n subsystem is of course one uniform, which means that if you take away all n minus one subsystems, this remaining subsystem is in maximally mixed state. However, this is not two. The state is not two uniform. It's easy to show that those k uniform states can exist only if n is larger or equal to 2k, because the to guarantee that the partial phase is maximally mixed, the size of ancilla cannot be smaller than the principal system. So you cannot have two uniform states of three qubits. However, you could in principle ask, and you could expect that there will be two uniform states of four qubits. However, it's not the case. There was an important paper by Higuchi and Sudbury from 2000. And then in the series of papers of the group from Italy, they even decided to use the name frustration known in solid state physics. So, you know, two spins are frustrated because they do not know if there's the third one, whether this one should be oriented up or down. So here similarity is the following. To get these two uniform states of four qubits, there are so many constraints that basically there is no space. And you can really prove that no state can satisfy all those requirements. However, they do exist two uniform states of five and six qubits, and they are very, very important and used for quantum error correction. So I'm pleased to have Raymond at the audience. So look, we can now celebrate, it is how many years? 25 years as this paper was written, yes? Something like this. Ah, you see, good excuse. By the way, please notice, this is a very nice state, but there are some components with plus and some with minus. Of course, the number of those plus and minus, you can change it by local rotation, but you cannot find such a state with all signs plus. Here's another one of six qubits, but only two uniform. Here, all coefficients are plus one. And now a different approach, different story. What are combinatorial designs? So I will first refer to a very important paper by Zauner. By the way, it was not a paper, but a thesis written auf Deutsch in German. And then basically he considered not to only study classical designs, but to quantize them. So what is a classical design? For instance, if you take 16 cards, four aces, four kings, four queens, four jacks, you wish to order them in such a way that in each column, each row, there's only a single card of each rank and each suit. As you see, this is possible. By the way, the question is not so simple, because if you take only four cards, like two aces, or I have here a huge card with me. So can you see two aces? If I put two aces, can you see something? So of course I have another king. It's easy to see I cannot put this king neither here nor there, because there are always two cards of the same suit in the single column or row. So it's easy to see that such designs do not exist for d equal 2. They are called mutually orthogonal Latin squares, MOLS, and it's known they do not exist for d equal 2. Then they do exist for d equal 3, 4, 5. In fact, there exists d minus 1 of them. But strange thing happens for d equals 6. Namely, only a single Latin square exists, so there are no orthogonal Latin squares. And this is a famous problem of Euler. So the reason was very practical. So the problem was, if you have 36 officers of different ranks from different units, and they come for a military parade, possibly in Petersburg, I think he was working now then those days in Petersburg, and you want to arrange them in a square in such a way that all uniforms are different in each column, each row, which means ranks and units in each column and row are different. So even Euler was not sure how to prove that no solution exists, but he was certain it's so. So there's a conjecture or problem of Euler, and only Gaston Terry, 121 years later, wrote a paper, I believe in French, in 1900. And another one was 1901, where he explicitly showed that Euler was correct concerning this case and no solution exists. So look, this is the classical design. So we have a lot of cards or objects, discrete objects. We want to order them with some balance and symmetry. And what is a quantum design? Well, you can guess. Basically the same, but we do not order discrete objects, but we find or look for a nice constellation composed of quantum states. So elements of the Hilbert space. Well, going back to this Euler problem, I will show you a toy. This is toy, it's called 36 cube, which basically is exactly the Euler problem, because you have 36 pieces of six colors of different heights. So you see rank 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And here's a solution. So look, apparently it's a solution to the Euler problem, because it's easy to see that in each column, each row, you have different colors. So well, what's then? You might wonder how it's possible. If Euler was right, so how it's possible to find such a solution to such a problem? This is sold as the world's most challenging puzzle. So I like this puzzle very much. So in fact, as you can see, the solution exists, but it's only a physical solution, not mathematical. Mathematically, Euler was correct. It basically means that if you make a direct inspection, there are four elements which look that they are of rank 4, but in fact they are of rank 5. So here they are in two columns. They are in fact two pieces of the same size. So Euler was correct, but this is still a very nice toy, which is related to nice mathematics. I'm not sure if you can buy it in Canada, but I really recommend to buy it and play with it. By the way, if you destroy it, it's really not simple to put it back, even if you know mathematics. Well, let me now go back to entangled states and introduce the notion of absolutely maximally entangled state. So the definition is very simple. So we know what is a K uniform state, and we know that this parameter K cannot be larger than half of N. So absolutely maximally entangled state is just such a state that K is, let's say, integer of N over 2, which basically means that if you, let's imagine that N is even. So for any splitting of N parties into two parts of the same size, the entanglement between both subsystems is maximal, which means that partial traces are maximally mixed. And again, there are a lot of nice papers to quote from Scott, Fackey, Helwig, and Latorre, Arnold, and others. So a short list. Bell state is an example of one uniform state of two qubits. Sometimes we use the name 2-2, so two subsystems of two levels each. GHZ can be called Ames states of three qubits. Then there are no two uniform states of four qubits. However, there exist two uniform states of four qutrits, so Ame 4-3, four subsystems with three levels each. And there exists a very nice state, three uniform of six q-quarts. However, there is no three uniform state of seven qubits, recent result by the German group.
I have one question.
Yes.
So in the definition of k-uniform state, like we are tracing out k-parties, so is it party dependent or is it permutation symmetric?
Good question. So the definition is that for any choice of K, any splitting of the system in two parts, the property is preserved. So I wish to guarantee that for any choice of K subsystems, remaining, all remaining subsystems are in the maximal limit state, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Yes, and now a short relation. I told you about Greco-Latin squares of those orthogonal Latin squares and about Hammer states. And now I wish to show you a relation. Such a nice pattern. So name Greco-Latin goes back to Euler because he used Greek letter as a first and Roman, so Latin as a second, to denote his squares. So to play cards, I like very much, we can use such nine cards. So you see rules are the no cards of the same suit, same color in a given row and column. But of course you can translate it into numbers like zero and ones. And now look, this pattern, of course it conveys the same information as Greco-Latin square. But I will argue that it gives us immediately a recipe how to arrange a two uniform, so AME, absolutely maximally entangled states of four qutrids. What you have to do, you take the address of this cell, like 0, 0, first row, first column, and put contents here. So it's 0, 0 address and 0, 0 what is here. Then next entry is has address 0, 1, inside is 1, 2. So you put such a term. The last from the first row is 0, 2 and 2, 1. And then second line goes here, third line goes here, and you build such a state from this classical design. And now you see, you get a kind of a quantum design. So you get a composition of quantum states, which gives you nice state. It is in fact Hammer state. It's easy to show that those constraints, which imply that it is indeed Greco-Latin square, immediately imply that this state is Hammer. Moreover, it's useful to write down a quantum code. The rules are simple. For instance, let's take the last row and we choose all those terms in which 2 is the first digit. And then we remove 2 and change 2 into 2 bar, which is written here in blue. So basically you see now that from this state, you can immediately read out how to encode one, in this case, qutrid, into set of 3 qutrids. So this is the code, like 3 qutrid code. Well, are there any questions? So maybe you can ask now about the question. Now you can possibly ask, why do we care about those Hammer states? I already mentioned that they are used or important for quantum codes, also for instance, for quantum teleportation. If you have a 2-qubit Bell state, you can teleport 1 qubit from A to B. If you have 2-qudit generalized Bell state, you can then teleport 1 qudit. A 3-qubit GHZ state allows one to teleport 1 qubit between any user, and 4-qutrid GHZ state allows us to teleport 1 qutrid between any of 2 out of 4 users. However, this Hammer state is even better because then you can teleport 2 qutrids between any pair chosen from 4 units. So for instance, if you choose A and C, you can teleport those 2 qutrids to B and D. By the way, Mani, this is related to your question. So basically you want to guarantee that for any choice of 2 subsystems, the entanglement is maximally is maximal. So you have like 4 objects. Let me use my cards. 4 objects, and independently how you shuffle them, if you split them into 2 parts, you wish to have maximal entanglement between this part and this part, but also between this part and this part. Is this clear? So you see the advantage of using Hammer states also for teleportation. Well, there's an interesting web resource by Huber and Wiederka, which basically shows for which dimensions and number of parties those states do exist. So here's local dimension D, a number of parties. For instance, red means there's no Hammer state with 4 qubits. The stable is much larger, but here you see that green means that all those states here exist beside this question mark, which corresponds exactly to the Euler problem. So four parties of dimension six. So I will refer to this issue later, but this is kind of the first open question for us. So to show you another example, so 6-4 exists, so six parties of size four, and this state is complicated. Basically, it's very difficult to guess what is the order of those numbers. There are 64 terms. Basically, it's very unlikely to memorize them, but there's a trick. So I told you about orthogonal Latin squares. There are also Latin cubes of such a cubes of numbers, such that in each column, each row, each vertical row, all digits are different. And then the state of six Q quads can be generated by another nice classical design. This is set of three mutually orthogonal Latin cubes of order four. So there are those cubes, and basically having a position like three digits for a position and three digits for contents of each cell, you can explain meaning of those numbers. First, three digits give you the position inside the cube, and then what is inside the cube you put here, and you generate such a state. So it only shows that those classical combinatorial designs are very useful to create nice quantum states with nice properties. Wow. So a question now comes: for which number of Q did such a state exist, and how to construct them? We know that those AME states of five qubits, they do exist, like this is the state of Raymond, but they contain those negative terms with negative signs I already mentioned. So you cannot obtain them with Latin squares, because in Latin squares, you only have all coefficients are plus one. So it's clear that a new construction is needed. Well, there's a nice saying that every good notion can be quantized. And here I refer to the nice idea of quantum Latin squares by Musto and Vicari, only 5 years old. So now the difference is simple. Instead of taking cards like here, so they are classical discrete objects, I want to order them somehow. They take D square quantum states from D dimensional Hilbert space, and they wish that in each column, each row, all states are orthogonal and they find a basis. So here's original example by Vicari and Musto, four-dimensional space. So you have like states 0, 1, 2, 3, let's say computational basis, standard basis, but for other two other rows are obtained by some entangled states like Bell states or other states. So what is interesting here, that in each row and each column, you have orthogonal states which form a basis. So it corresponds to the classical assumptions that in each row, all cards have different suit and different rank. In a more general words, standard combinatorics is related to looking into discrete set of symbols, let's say from 1 to D, and arranging them in a nice way. And here permutation group is critical, is very important. And our more generalized quantum approach or quantum combinatorics from Zauner, we basically do the same, but we do not now discuss constellations of discrete objects, but we pick our states, psi, so different states from a given Hilbert space. And instead of permutation group, which is discrete, we are going to use the continuous unitary group, which allows to transform one state into another. Well, so in this paper by Vicari and Musto, they discuss Latin squares, and now here we discuss orthogonal quantum Latin squares. So the short definition could go as follows. First, note that any state can be, of course, decomposed in the product basis. So here's CKL is the coefficient matrix. And now we wish to find a set of D square bipartite state. So now psi ij go from 1 to d, and we construct a huge extended block matrix, which contains d square blocks, each of size d. And this constellation will be called orthogonal quantum Latin squares if all those states are orthogonal. So this is the equation in terms of states, all in terms of those matrix of coefficients. And they are block unitary, which means if you take any column and multiply it blockwise with any row, you get identity only for those two indices equal. And now it's easy to show that this set of three equations, three constraints, correspond to a requirement, the following state. Ah, by the way, simple question. I see those, what's written here in black. So can you see the entire presentation? Or it's also, can you see the formula here?
Which formula? Sorry.
Yes, for psi 4. Look.
Then the four partite states, psi 4, yeah.
So my question was very stupid because what I'm saying is written here by this machine or whatever, and it sometimes spoils the main formula, but at the very bottom. But you can see it, yes? This state psi form is too uniform, which exactly means that it forms an AME state. So in short, those orthogonal quantum Latin squares, this is a constellation or composition containing d square bipartite state, such that if you extend it, multiply in the tensor way by this product states ij, all together they form a two uniform AME state. Is this clear? I hope so. Since nobody objects. I will only mention that we discuss here Latin squares, but there's also a notion of Latin cubes and orthogonal Latin cubes. So you can also have a quantum version of it. So cube, of course, is a cube of numbers, but here we have a cube of states. So they are states are simple. They are just GHZ states. It's easy to show. They live in eight-dimensional space because three qubits, and you can find eight orthogonal states which form a basis, they are locally equivalent, and then putting them together with the digits from 000 to 111, you get now six party state, which corresponds to the six qubit AME state, which was found by Bolas and others in 2007. So what is interesting here, that the state which is known can be written in this way as a sum over x from 0 to 7, x times this GHZ state labeled by x, which in a sense is kind of a similar construction like the function psi of f, which is used in the algorithm of Shor. So look, something about multipartite entanglement was discussed in the second edition of our book. And now the second edition is here decorated by such a shape. This shape, they are just the rings of Borromean rings. So I will now try to advocate why such rings could be useful to study entanglement. Well, so now another part of the approach. In my title, there were different approaches to multipartite entanglement. So first I discuss those combinatorial objects. Now I will discuss topology. So look, here I have something for you. This is such object. Topology means that I can play with it and the structure will not change until I will cut. So I can also cut one link and see what happens. So you could now guess what might be the three qubit quantum states, which could be somehow in a reasonable rational way associated with those color links. Now look, before going to quantum states, first a simple algebra, it is easy to see that, well, we can somehow associate with such an object, topological object, a polynomial. Like here, red, let's say, is A, green is B, C is blue. So here you will say AB plus BC. Why? Because if B is zero, variable B is zero, then this polynomial is equal to zero, which corresponds to the fact that if you cut link green link, those two others, red and blue, will go apart. While this one can be, this link can be represented by the product A times B times C, because if you cut one of those, two others will go apart. So this just corresponds to those structure of Bohmian rings. So in fact, now this idea that linked rings can be associated to quantum states goes back to Aravind. There was a paper written in 1997, and the idea was how to interpret cutting or maybe neglecting one ring. So the idea was that after measurement of the particle X, the remaining n minus one parties are in a separable state. But then it's a kind of basis dependent approach. So there was a more recent paper by Sugita, and the idea was similar. So he also used rings like this, but the interpretation was a bit different, that after a partial trace over particle X, the remaining n minus one subsystems are in a separable state. This corresponds to the fact that if you cut one ring, entire knot goes apart. And then the idea is that this is basis independent. So now look, this structure, just Bohmian rings, which corresponds to this polynomial ABC, can be associated with the GHZ state of three qubits. Because if you perform partial trace with respect to any of those three subsystems, two others are not entangled, while this is not the case for the W state. So W state will correspond to such a configuration, polynomial is AB plus BC plus AC, which corresponds to this state, because if you perform partial trace, which basically means we neglect one of those rings, the remaining two are still linked together. So is it clear to you, this analogy put forward by Sugita? Yes, is it fine?
Yes, sounds good.
Thank you, thank you. Well, so now we can go a bit farther in the example of Bohmian rings. We saw that if we cut a single ring out of three or more, all others will go apart. So now we have a definition. If you have a link of n rings, well, it looks like this. So everything is like this. Okay, now it's sorry. Now it's already, I broke it into parts. But if it's still together, it's called M resistant. If cutting any M rings, remaining N minus M are still connected. While if we cut any further ring, it disconnects the link. So this is a simple topological property concerning the set of N rings. And now you can have a very similar definition of quantum state. If you have a quantum state of N subsystems, it's already entangled. We call that this entanglement is M resistant. If after tracing away M subsystems, the remaining N minus M parties remain entangled. But if you remove a further subsystem, this makes the state separable. So this GHZ state is, of course, not resistant at all, zero resistant, because if we perform partial trace away one subsystem, all others are, two others remaining are separable, while this W state is already one resistant. What's next? If we now go to four qubit state, we can find such a nice links of four colors. So this is the case where polynomial is A, B, C, D. Why? Because this is a generalization of Bohmian rings. If you cut away, look, now this is a nice exercise. If you take away yellow or neglect it, what happens? Then you can put blue away, and then you can put green away, so all others are disconnected. So this is zero resistant ring. This one is already one resistant. So if you take one color away, one link, the remaining are still connected. So here is a nice way to represent four Borromean rings at the octahedron. So it's one resistant link. Why? You can put it together. You can see that it will be a kind of a round structure, very symmetric structure. And here at each of those faces, you have like standard Borromean construction between three colors. Here those three, here another three, here yet another three. And if you put them together, this is a way how to produce such a nice object with real rings, and it will make one resistant link. And now the question, can we find quantum states which correspond to such, well, arbitrary, let's say, m-resistant links of n parties? Well, the answer is that for any natural n and m smaller than a minus one, there exists such m-resistant link of n rings concerning rings. But the question is whether they exist such quantum states. Here we do not have the firm answer up till now. At least we can construct for smaller dimension like 3, 4, to some extent 5 subsystems, we can find examples of such M resistant states. So in a sense, they are kind of special generalizations of G, Z, and W states. And now I still have some time. I will go to the third part of the talk. I told you, it's a bit a joke, that there's a relation between quantum entanglement, multipartite systems, and astronomy. So I'm pretty sure some of you will recognize what it is. This is simple, like Betelgeuse star and Orion, but it's much more difficult to guess what is the relation to multipartite entanglement. Who has any ideas? What is a relation between entanglement and astronomy? Well, so I see the face of Norbert. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah,
good.
And so you think everything is strange. That's the connection.
Yes, but I believe you heard about stars and also stellar representation. So I will use stellar representation of n-qubit symmetric states. So this is also called Majorana representation, but it can be defined for any state of simple system, one partite, or alternatively for n qubit states which are symmetric with respect to permutation. So symmetric states, let's say, of two qubits will be like alpha comma beta, so tensor beta plus beta tensor alpha with appropriate constant. And then this state will be visualized by two stars. So I have here my sphere and stars. So two stars on the sphere. Yes, you can, it's a very special device. So this will be like already the set of 7 qubits here. I can represent any such state by such an object. And in general, a constellation of n stars represents a symmetric state of n qubits, which is defined like this, where you have summation over all n factorial permutations of those n symbols. And then, in the case of simple systems, if you have a so-called SU2 or spin coherent state, it is represented by a constellation of all stars which are degenerated and they are put in a single point and they represent zeros of Husimi function. So the state is concentrated on the antipodal point and all zeros of this Husimi function are just glued together. In the case of multiple tet systems I'm discussing right now, such state corresponds to separable state. Why? Because if all those states are the same, this will be just alpha times alpha plus alpha times alpha is just alpha is a separable state. However, in the case those stars are far away, you can call it the state, on one hand, it's anti-coherent. It's far away from the SU2 coherent state for simple systems, and for multiple states, symmetric states, it's entangled. In a sense, if those points are distributed uniformly at the sphere, it is as entangled as it could be. So you will see now there is a relation to some geometric structures because it's related to the question whether you could somehow place a given number, let's say n points, at the sphere in a nice symmetric way. So now a relation between the previous approach. So we were asking about n-resistant pure states of 3 qubits, for instance. So a zero-resistant state is just GHZ state. It is not so easy to understand that it corresponds to 3 stars which belong to the equator. And of course, the angles are the same. So they are, let's say, symmetrically placed at the equator. Now, to get to nice one-resistant state, it's enough to move one star from the equator to the pole. So you have some not very symmetric configuration of stars. This state was written down here. Well, we can use the same trick. So use this stellar representation for 4 qubits. So here you have GHZ state, which is zero resistant, corresponds to 4 dots, 4 stars at the equator. One resistant contains of 3 stars at the equator and one at the pole, and 2 resistant already 2 stars at the equator and 2 others at the pole. So for larger systems, it's not so easy to localize and to specify such states, but we can show that in the generic case of n subsystems with d levels each, such a state is typically m resistant, where m is a function of n, in this case linearly, is 3n/5. This was the address of, this was the result published in the Krakow-Lisabon collaboration, and I'm pleased to greet Gonzalo, who I think is here, Gonzalo Quinta from Lisabon.
Yes, hello there. Yes, very nice presentation. Thank you very much.
So late, yes. Look, I think I will slowly come to concluding remarks, but slowly. So I think that it's an interesting subject to study multiparted entanglement because there are a lot of nice applications, including error correction codes, multi-user quantum communication, several other protocols. And there's a nice notion of absolutely maximally entangled state of n qubits, which are as entangled in a sense as they can be, because for any symmetric partition, the partial traces are maximally mixed, which means that both parties are as entangled as they can be, independently of how you split the system into different parts. And those states are known for small values of n and d. However, the key open question corresponds to the problem of Euler. So 36 officers of Euler corresponds to the Amer state of 4 parties with 6 level each. So I was not discussing this case today. I don't have time to do it, but I will just mention that the recent results suggest that such a state exists. So there will be a paper by Rader, Burkhardt and others to appear maybe this month. And I think it's a nice, well, maybe not breakthrough, but nice result, which allows us to construct some quantum codes for QHEX. So for the alphabet with 6 levels each, and 6 is an important number, is 3 times 2. So it's neither a prime nor a power of prime. And then to construct such strongly entangled states of several qubits, there are many possible approaches. We advocate 3. So combinatorial techniques like those orthogonal Latin squares and looking for the quantum generalizations, like quantum orthogonal Latin squares or Latin cubes. Then topological techniques related to nodes, to knots and links, and the definition of M-resistant links, which are resistant, so they are entangled state. If you remove M links, the remaining links are still entangled. And then, well, maybe not application of real astronomy, but at least Majorana representations or stellar representation, which allows us to visualize such states in a very, very nice way. I will only mention one more paper, which was related to a kind of generalization of Hammer states for mixed states, was published last year. Well, now, I'm sorry I cannot visit Waterloo. It's not so easy perhaps for you to visit Krakow. You are kindly invited to Krakow in general, but now there's a more concrete and more precise invitation. Namely, next Monday, my colleague Adam Burkhardt will deliver a talk entitled 36 Entangled Offices of Euler. Here is appetizer. So of course, we know that there's no solution for the Euler original question of 36 offices, but it happens if you allow them to be kind of entangled, such a solution exists. So the talk will be on Monday at 2:15 European time, which is very early for you, but still after 8 a.m. So you are kindly invited. The link can be found on our webpage. Thank you very much. Thank you for your attention and for allowing me to talk in Waterloo again.
Thanks a lot, Carol, for giving a very nice and interesting talk. If we have any questions from the audience, you can go ahead.
Yes, please do.
Hey, Carol. So I think I missed something in the definition of the resistance states. When you trace out, they have to be maximally entangled or just entangled?
Entangled. So here in this definition, sorry, the definition is simple. There's a different approach. And here we do not care about whether the states are maximally entangled or entangled at all. So the definition is simple. Here we only say that they are still entangled. So if you take away, so take partial trace over M subsystems, the remaining states are still entangled. Independently of which M states are chosen to be removed. And then if you remove one more, the state to any of those, the state has to be separable.
So
it's a very special class of states, which we believe is still interesting.
So can't you then make the M minus two state by just taking all pairs of EPR pairs?
Well, but okay, there's one question whether such states exist if they are pure. Another is if you allow those states to be mixed. So in some cases, we found those M-resistant states to be pure. In some cases, we have not achieved this and we had to change to mixed states. Then we believe they exist for any choice, any allowed choice of M smaller than N, N minus one.
Oh, I see. So the state that I said only works for M equals like N minus two,
no,
I guess.
From one, from zero to N minus one.
Right, but you also have the intermediate ones. Okay, I see.
Yes. Because if you have a state of, let's say, four parties, it's reasonable to talk if it's one resistant or two resistant. Two resistant means if you take four cards and choose any two away, those two have to be still entangled.
Right. So but I guess the point is that unlike the AME, if it's M resistant, that doesn't mean it's M minus one resistant.
Okay. It's not.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Because here in the definition, it is that while removing any other, it makes the state separable.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because from W3, it's one resistant, but it means if you remove already one, then you have simple entangled state of bipartite systems in this case. Mm-hmm. So there, again, several problems of existence problems are still open. For instance, we are not aware for what N and M, such pure states which are M resistant, do exist for higher dimensions. And here are those examples for, let's say, for instance, four qubits.
Right. Okay.
So for the case of like in the Majorana representation, like do we know given any specific n, like what is the maximum m we can achieve for m resistant states?
Well, so I don't think I know the answer.
Yes, yeah, I mean, is it like an open question or is it interesting?
Yes, yes.
And in this two resistant state picture, like instead of rotating two of the qubits at the top, if one qubit is at the bottom, will it still remain a two resistant state in the third picture here?
You mean this central picture?
No, so the third one.
Here. So yeah, you have here those two generated stars at the pole.
Yeah. So instead of North Pole, if I rotate one of them to the South Pole, will it still remain too resistant? Like, is there a geometrical way to
then think? I'm pretty sure the entanglement properties will not change, because in a sense they will be invariant with respect to global rotation of all the stars. So of course, if you have such a constellation like this and you rotate it, the entanglement properties will not change.
Yeah, but like I'm rotating, instead of two, I am rotating only one of them. Like there are two qubits at the North Pole, right? So yes. If I rotate only one of them, so it will be here. A different state. Yeah.
No, but then you will have this configuration, because then in a sense, they will form another equator. They will be equivalent to this configuration. So basically you will lose this property. It will be like GHZ4 state, which is zero resistant.
Yeah, sure, I get it. Missed that point. Thanks.
But look, I think it's nice to have such a visualization with those stars, which helps to sometimes ask nice questions and sometimes even to find answers. But it only works for symmetric states, which are really symmetric with respect to any permutation. This is the definition here of the stellar representation. And by the way, it works only for qubits. We recently had another attempt to generalize it for qubits, but it's not so simple.
One more question. So for m-resistant state, can you go back to the next, go to the next slide?
Next, yes. This one?
Yeah, so here, like, yeah, this slide. Here, like, if for any, suppose for four qubits, if I trace out two qubits, is there any relation like, two resistant states will have higher entanglement compared to one resistant state or something, if I trace out half of the number of qubits?
Well, good question. But again, I don't know exactly the answer. But I would guess that in general, there's no relation like this. So you might have states which are very entangled or a little bit entangled, because in this definition, there's only binary issue, whether it is entangled or not. And the degree of entanglement in this case is not critical.
Okay, yeah, I see. Thank you. We have more questions from the audience.
I had a question about the analogy with the links and knots.
Yes.
So presumably this applies for states with positive amplitudes. Like, is there a way to build in like sign structure into this analogy? Or?
Well, I don't know the answer. I can ask Gonzalo, but we are thinking about it. But as far as I recall, we have not managed to introduce any sign structures. Gonzalo, how do you think?
Sorry, when you say sign structure, are you saying if what happens if you change the signs in the polynomial, or
could you in the amplitudes of the state? So you know, you gave these examples of like GHZ W state, and so it's nice that
So here we always have assume plus. Of course, this particular state is equivalent, topologically equivalent, or locally equivalent if you change into minus. But in general, our approach will not allow us to distinguish between those two states with plus or minus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So for any quantum state that you give me, even for a continuous range of degrees of freedom, you can always define a trace, right? And the question of whether the state remains entangled or separable after one trace is something which is basis independent. But the problem is that going from the quantum state to the knot is not so difficult in most of the cases, but the backwards case is really complicated. So to find out a state corresponding to some knot that you draw by hand, okay? So the amplitudes themselves are only as important as entanglement is. So if the entanglement depends on the signs of the amplitudes, then yes. Otherwise, then no. But that's a really tough question to answer. I don't know the answer, sorry.
For instance, here we have amplitude three, state 0, 0, 0, and all others are ones, but they are plus ones. So in a sense, you might find a state which term is minus somewhere here, which has this property to be one resistant. This is possible. But looking at the picture like this, we have no idea, or there's no any information encoded concerning the amplitudes and concerning the phases. Yes, there's only information whether the partial trace is separable or is entangled.
And actually, one very good example. So we spent like 2 years and or something like that trying to answer the question of whether there was a state of 5 qubits such that if you traced out any 2 qubits. It would remain, any 1 qubit, it would remain entangled. But if you traced out any 2 qubits, so any other one, it would become separable, a pure state. A mixed state was really easy, was almost instant. We just guessed it and it worked. But, and it was based on the polynomial. That's the interesting part. So you take the polynomial and you attribute zeros and ones to the cats corresponding to the terms of the polynomial. We have no idea why this works, but for mixed states, it works like wonders. For pure states, the answer is much more difficult. It quickly stops working. And for 5 qubits, this problem, we thought the state didn't exist. And one time, Adam, which is one of our collaborators as well, just said, oh, I remember this state from the K-uniform literature. It's actually a state you were looking for. But it was really complicated, and it had a non-intuitive combination of amplitudes and signs. So it's really tough to answer these types of questions.
I think that the state was already presented during Carol's talk.
Yes, I saw it too.
Yes, thanks Adam for the comment. And then I can only repeat my invitation to Krakow for your talk on Monday.
Do we have any more questions? If not, let us thank Carol once again for a very nice, interesting talk.
Yes, thank you very much for the nice invitation and allowing me to visit at least virtually Perlmutter Institute again. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And stay in good health. See you next time, someday, somewhere.